Well, hello, advanced listeners. Welcome to our inspiration article for the month of January, and we are bouncing back. Well, what does that mean? We're about to find out in today's article. We will be looking at different human stories where people have persevered or helped their community. And it's a 3-day article. And we have a different story every day of this article. So we're going to be exploring different things. Now, with me on this journey for these next 3 days, I have some wonderful hosts. So I'm going to introduce them to you. To my right, I have the lovely Lois.
Hi, Amanda. It's great to be here. And it's great to be sharing in this panel today. I look forward to it because our title, our absolute title, is Inspiration. And we hope we inspire all our listeners.
That's true. We hope that you're going to be inspired by these stories today. And off to my left, I have Josh. Josh, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Amanda. It's great to be here. And it's also great to be a part of this panel talking about inspiration. I think it's wonderful to be a part of inspiring others to work on their English, but a very different aspects of their lives. But I'm also always looking for inspiration myself.
Right. So we like to grow through hearing different inspirational stories, right?
Exactly. You have to have some challenges in your life or some growth or goals. And I find when we do these articles in this category, they really get you thinking a lot more.
Right. And we've, you know, over the time that we have done events, we've had a lot of different inspirational stories, things we may not have realized could happen to a person or that somebody could overcome that situation and have, you know, have a breakthrough or have their life become better because of it. So I think it's really good that we are going to spend 3 days looking at different stories because they're very different stories as well. And so hopefully you listeners can connect to at least one of these stories and take away something from it. I think, like Josh said, it's, you know, allowing the inspiration to inspire you in turn, right? So, Josh, you obviously like inspirational stories. What, apart from inspiring you, does it make you grow in different areas of your life?
I think it definitely makes me grow in different areas of my life. And it also helps, you know, some days when you're having a bad day, to really remember an inspirational story and be like, you know what, if this person could do that, then I can make it through this. And I think that's a really good thing to have in the background, especially when you're facing challenges.
And especially in our world today, you know, we're often confronted by a lot of sad stories and it can seem quite hopeless. But we hope through these inspiring stories that that hopelessness can turn into hope. So let's start today's reading from page 18 of your Advance magazine, or if you have an electronic device, you can turn with us to page 18. We're going to start our first reading for today on line 1, column 1.
Bouncing back. Be inspired by examples of human tenacity and purpose. Man found alive after 66 days at sea had already been mourned by friends. 2 months after Lewis Jordan disappeared on a fishing trip off the coast of South Carolina, his family had resolved not to think the unthinkable until he had been gone for at least 4 months. But even they had begun to frame photos of Lewis and his boat, hanging them on a wall in his mother's North Carolina home. Then one day, their prayers were answered. Their son, weather-worn and 50 pounds thinner, walked out of a hospital and into his parents' arms after surviving multiple capsizes and months adrift.
Well, listeners, our first article for our inspiration article from this month is A Man Found Alive After 66 Days at Sea Had Already Been Mourned by Friends. Well, first of all, Lois, I wanted to ask you, what does this word mourn mean?
Well, mourn means we have somebody in our life who has died, and now we're going through a grief period. And instead of being kind of happy and joyful around a family, you are actually hopefully feeling the loss they're having, and you're mourning with them. You're sad with them.
Right.
You're heartbroken with them.
Right. It's the emotional feeling of loss.
Exactly.
Right? Well, why would this family be feeling this way? What happened as we enter this paragraph, Josh?
Well, as we enter the paragraph here, it looks like Lewis, the main proponent or the protagonist in the story, had disappeared for 2 months off the coast of South Carolina, which usually means that something terrible has happened.
Right. Now, I'm not familiar with South Carolina. Have you been there yourself, Josh?
I've only been briefly to South Carolina, so I've done a lot of road tripping in the United States, but unfortunately, I've never been to the coast there.
Right.
It's a place I've gone for vacation with Michael.
Is it a nice place?
It's very nice. In fact, it's a destination that a lot of Canadians hit, especially Canadians that are on the kind of central to east side of the country. And we like to go to the beaches in South Carolina.
And is the water quite rough there?
It can be during hurricane season for sure. In fact, we were run out of the place because of an approaching hurricane. I can totally remember it. It was 1989, and if our listeners want to look it up, it was in September, and I believe it was a terrible hurricane, like really devastating.
So they do have quite changeable weather in that area.
East Coast of the United States, it has almost all the time, especially in the fall and winter.
Okay. Well, we see here Lewis, he went off on a fishing trip. He was not seen for 2 months, and his family had resolved not to think the unthinkable. What do we mean when we've resolved something, Josh?
Well, when we resolve something, it can mean a few things. So one is that we've decided, right, and that's our resolution, is we decided to do something. But it can also mean, like in this case, when we've decided, basically, that's the only thing that's left over to us, right?
And what is the unthinkable? This is a term we've decided to define.
Right. It says that the unthinkable is an unthinkable event or situation. So you don't want it to happen.
Right.
It's maybe we sometimes hear, this is my worst nightmare.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, good. And they resolve not to think about this situation being their worst nightmare until Lewis had been gone for at least 4 months. So that was the time frame that they had given themselves to not think the worst. But even they had begun to do what, Josh?
Well, they'd started hanging a photo of him and his boat on the wall. So this is what people would do as a memorial, you know, so that they think that he's already passed, something to remember him by.
Right. Okay. So that is what that indication means when they're doing this. They're already hanging his picture on the wall. But what happened, Lois? What happened one day?
Well, this is incredible. Then one day, their prayers were answered. Obviously, they were really praying that they would see their son again. He was weather-worn, and he was 50 pounds thinner when he showed up. And he walked out of hospital and into his parents' arms after surviving multiple capsizes and months adrift.
What does weather-worn mean?
Well, weather-worn, we often hear of that. Maybe you have a weather-worn cottage or cabin, and it means that the weather elements, depending on where you are in the world, have hit maybe the sides of the cottage and the wood or whatever, and it looks like it's been maybe not damaged, but wear and tear.
Right. Good. Good. And we see here he survived multiple capsizes. But what is a capsize, Josh?
Well, a capsize is a nautical term, so it's a boating term. And in this case, it means when your boat has turned over in the water, which is something you really don't want to have happen.
Right, right. And oftentimes, if there's very stormy weather, that can cause the boat to actually lose its balance, right, and to capsize. And then we see he spent months adrift. Now, Lois, what does that word mean, adrift?
Well, I'm glad that's in our vocabulary focus, because adrift means, in regards to a boat, it is moving on the water, but it is not controlled by anyone because of a problem. So maybe if it's a sailboat, might be because the actual sail is ripped or down, or the boom part isn't working, or a motorboat, your motor isn't working at all, you've run out of fuel, that sort of thing.
Have either of you spent time sailing?
I have spent a little time sailing, and I've spent some time on the water in many different types of craft, right? So one of the things you really don't want to have happen is capsizing.
Exactly.
And another thing you really don't want to have happen is to be just floating uncontrollably or adrift, because although it may not make any immediate problems, you can get into some very serious trouble because of that.
Right.
Yeah, I've been on the water a fair bit in my lifetime, too. I happen to have a husband that loves boats, so that gets us out on them. So I actually learned a little bit of sailing when I was a teenager, and then I've had some experience on a laser and catamaran, and then, of course, I'm Canadian, so canoe, definitely. Spent a lot of time in a canoe.
All right, well, why don't we find out in our next reading what actually happened to Lewis?
Rescued at sea. Jordan, 37, was spotted and rescued from his crippled boat about 200 miles off Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, the Coast Guard said. He was airlifted to a hospital in Norfolk, Virginia, with a shoulder injury and dehydration. Jordan left on a fishing trip from South Carolina in January 2015, according to his family. But a couple days in, his boat capsized, leaving him with a broken shoulder. Jordan got caught in some rough weather, and his boat's mast was broken and its electronics damaged. He survived on some limited food on board. He rationed his food and water, drinking just a pint a day for long stretches.
Well, listeners, if you're joining us, we're learning about a man that was found alive after 66 days at sea. And we've learned so far that Lewis Jordan, he disappeared during a fishing trip off the coast of South Carolina. Now, his family did not want to think the unthinkable. And it's good that they didn't do that, because their prayers were answered. And he returned to them weather-worn and 50 pounds thinner. But how did this happen to him? What actually happened to Lewis while he was at sea? Let's find out in this next paragraph. We learn, first of all, that Jordan is 37 years of age. And what happened to him, Josh?
Well, fortunately, he was spotted and rescued from his crippled boat about 200 miles off Cape Hatteras, North Carolina.
Well, I think earlier, Lois, you mentioned a few things that can cripple a boat. Could you refresh us with those things?
Sure. There's things that can go really wrong with a boat. And one of them is, if you're in a sailboat, you can have your actual sail rip or come down, or parts of the boat get damaged, or the boom not be able to move, or actually get a crack or a break in it. There's lots of things that can happen. And you know, I know for myself, one time I was in a sailboat and the sail went down, or the mast went down, and we had to get it up because it was just part of the training. We had to get it up. And when there's a high wind, it is quite difficult. And we were on a very large lake at the time. Almost seems like a sea when it's that big, and it gets really rough. And, you know, it's scary. Then the water is really cold, at least where I was.
Right. So you're really working with the elements.
Yes.
Right? The weather. You're working with the weather. Josh, I wanted to ask you, we learn here about the Coast Guard. Now, what is the responsibility of the Coast Guard?
Well, the Coast Guard in the United States is an organization that patrols the coasts or the open waters in the U.S. So that includes going out with boats, but also going out with helicopters, and includes policing. So when people are doing anything against the law, be it maritime law or international law. But a lot of the things that they will do is exactly like this, which is responding to catastrophes and saving people who need rescuing.
Right, because we see he needed to be airlifted to the hospital. And in my mind, that's often what I see on the news, is the Coast Guard have come and they rescue the person off the boat and they airlift them to the hospital. So airlifted, they're using the helicopter, correct?
That's right. And oftentimes on a Coast Guard ship, there's a number of crew members, and in a case like this, maybe one or two jump in the water. And they're all geared up for that sort of thing, and they have the proper gear on, and they will save the person who is out on maybe a really large lake or the sea, mostly the sea, the ocean.
Okay, so they too are also working with the elements, working with the weather. If the weather is very stormy, that can make their job quite difficult.
And they have very much a work helicopter. We might be thinking about helicopters that you go on a tour to see the area or to see the beauty of the landscape. This isn't the case. This is definitely a work helicopter.
Okay.
And some of these people are rescued in conditions that are very dangerous. So the Coast Guard will go into areas where you will be just amazed that they can get somebody in and out of the water.
Right. So they really are rescuers, heavy, doing dangerous work. Well, what happened to Lewis? He was injured, right? What happened to him, Lewis?
Well, we read on line 21 that he had a shoulder injury and dehydration. So dehydration means he didn't have enough fluid in his body. Generally, we think of water first off. And a shoulder injury, it could be very serious.
Right. It means he may perhaps not been able to use one of his arms, which would also make it very difficult. Well, we go back a little bit in time to find out the backstory, Josh, to Jordan's trip.
Yeah, so the backstory here is that he had left on a fishing trip from South Carolina in January, which is a cold part of the month in that area of the world. Also with a lot of weather, right? So this is a time where you really have to kind of be on your best game. But after a couple of days, his boat capsized, turned over again, leaving him with a broken shoulder.
Okay, so this is really recapping what we have just been talking about. And he got caught in some rough weather, okay? And that's what we were talking about earlier. Rough weather could be very stormy weather. The waves can get very big. And like Lois mentioned, on the east coast of America, the waves can get very, very big. And so a lot of people can get caught in that and get in trouble. Well, we see that his mast broke. The boat's mast was broken. Is this a big problem, Josh?
This is huge. This will definitely kill a boat in the water and make it very, very difficult for you to be able to survive. So when a boat such as these capsize or turn over in rough seas, they are designed to be able to self-rescue or self-right, but it is very difficult, especially if you're on your own and injured, right? And having that plus your mast broken means that you're pretty much out of luck. Like, there's nothing that you can do. And then having your electronics broken on top of that means it's going to be impossible for you to call to help.
Right. Okay. So there we see it's a very desperate situation. Now we learn he had a survival mode, right?
Yeah.
He was able to survive. What was he able to survive on?
Well, it says he was able to survive on some limited food that he had on board, and he rationed his food and water, drinking just a pint a day for long stretches. And when we see the word rationed, I instantly think of anything I've ever read about the Second World War period, because it's rationing. You just have so much maybe per day, and you have to really think about that. And then we see a pint is a measurement. We don't hear that much anymore. And we have it in our specialized terms. And it's a unit used for measuring liquid. In the UK, it equals 0.57 liters, and in the US, it equals 0.48 liters. I just like to point out, though, if you travel, you'll see liters spelt two ways. It'll be what we show and also L-I-T-R-E-S if you go to the UK. So,
okay, well, so this was what he did to survive. He managed to stretch out the amount of food and water he had and just drink a little bit of water every day for long stretches. Now, here we've said for long stretches, but you could say for long stretches of time, long periods of time. So while all this is happening to him, what are his parents thinking and feeling? Well, let's find out in our next reading for today. Meanwhile, at home, his parents worried. It wasn't uncommon for Jordan to embark on grand adventures and not call his family for days or even weeks. But a few cold winter weeks passed without a word from their son. His family headed up and down the coast, passing out flyers with Jordan's photo. His mother said, "I just need a sign. I need something physical," Glenn Davis, Jordan's stepfather, said. As they sat doing their taxes, they received a text message from Lewis's father. Lewis had been found alive. In the helicopter, Jordan pulled out two of the things that he said had kept him going: the Bible, battered and jacketless, and a blanket that had shielded him from the sun.
Well, listeners, we've been learning about Lewis Jordan and how he was lost at sea, but he was found and rescued by the Coast Guard off the shore of North Carolina, off the coast of North Carolina, and he managed to survive on very limited amounts of food and water. But unfortunately, his boat had capsized a lot. He had a broken mast. His electronics were damaged. But meanwhile, we learn at home his parents worried, although it wasn't uncommon. Now, why wasn't it uncommon, Josh?
Well, it wasn't uncommon for him to embark or to take off on grand adventures and not call his family for days or even weeks. So I guess they were pretty used to him just taking off and not saying anything to anyone for weeks at a time.
Right. Now, we see here at the very beginning of their sentence, Lois, it wasn't uncommon. Mm-hmm. This is a double negative.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of like double negatives, Amanda, because I sometimes think they have more impact when you're reading. And when they say this, they mean they're not surprised that he does something like this, or, hey, this is just our son, Lewis Jordan. This is what he does.
Right. It's actually very common for him to take off, right?
Exactly.
To go on these grand adventures. What does that word grand here mean, Josh?
Well, grand in this particular case means big, like really spectacular. So like a grand staircase is a really big and spectacular staircase. A grand adventure then would be a big and spectacular adventure.
Right. Not just an adventure, although that might be quite enough for some people. Grand meaning big. And so he wouldn't call his family, but we see a few cold winter weeks passed without a word from their son. What is this phrase, without a word, Lois?
Well, they're not getting any messages, any phone calls, any computer contact. So he's kind of gone off the grid.
Right. He's disappeared.
Right? Yeah.
They don't have any communication with him. And so what did his family begin to do, Josh?
Well, this was sad for me to see. So they started going up and down the coastline distributing photographs, which basically means that they're looking for his body, right? Or anybody who may have seen something that happened to a stranger, because he might have washed up on shore unidentified.
Right. So the time away and his lack of communication with them caused them to be concerned about his safety, and so they started looking for him. And in actual fact, they even passed out flyers with his photo on it. That's how desperate they were to look for him.
And I was thinking before that, they probably contacted any of the hospitals in that area, because that's generally what you do, and the police, because you want to know if anybody has someone meeting that description, right?
Right. You want to find any sign that they are alive. In fact, his mother said, I just need a sign. I need something physical. Here, meaning she needs some kind of proof to know whether he is alive or not. Mm. And this is according to Jordan's stepfather, Glenn Davis.
I can relate to that. I'm a mom. I would say exactly the same thing because I think as a parent, we never prepare ourselves that our children will go before us ever. Mm-hmm. And also, it's the whole closure thing we've talked about in advance before.
Right. Well, thankfully for them, as they were doing their taxes, which seems very an odd situation, you're doing your taxes, but they received a great text message. Josh, what did they hear?
Well, this is a fantastic moment. So obviously they're sitting down, you know, doing something completely unrelated to the concern they have for their child. And then all of a sudden, they get a text message that he had been found alive.
Which is great news. And we learn in this next paragraph just a little bit, Jordan, when he spoke with the Coast Guard, what happened in the helicopter with the Coast Guard, Lois?
Well, it says that he had two things with him, two things that he had kept. He had his Bible, and it tells us the condition his Bible's in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all battered and jacketless. It doesn't have the cover on it anymore. And a blanket that had shielded him from the sun.
Right. So because his boat is capsized, he would only have been able to sit on the bottom, which is now on the top, which would not have protected him at all from the sun. So this blanket was able to do that. In actual fact, it says in the paragraph, he said that these things had kept him going. Josh, what does it mean when something keeps you going?
Well, when something keeps you going, it means even though there are reasons to not continue to stop, that there are things that give you reasons to keep putting one foot forward and keep trying in order to obtain your goal, which in this case was surviving.
Right. And so we need to finish there for today, but listeners, I would love to hear from you. What has kept you going? And we would love to hear your feedback. You can send that to us through our email or through our Facebook. And unfortunately, we need to finish for today, but we hope that you can join us tomorrow for another inspiring article. Up till now, this is Amanda,
Lois,
and Josh
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.